Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The Israeli military says its troops are battling Hamas fighters inside Gaza City's biggest hospital. CBS News military consultant and retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland.
It's one thing to fight an adversary in battle. That's horrific enough. But to try to do it in a hospital that's got newborn babies in incubators, severely injured people, doing it at night with no lights, doing it in confined facilities, this puts these Israeli soldiers in an enormously difficult position to conduct those operations, protect themselves, and avoid all possibilities any additional civilian harm.
American intelligence agencies say they have confirmed that Hamas is operating and holding hostages in tunnels below hospitals in the Gaza Strip. In a powerful show of support, thousands of people came to Capitol Hill to say they're on Israel's side in the fight against Hamas.
Bring them home! Bring them home!
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer among the many speakers at the rally.
Even in its darkest days, the United States has always stood with Israel, and we will do everything to see that that never, ever changes.
Adding Democrat and Republican, House and Senate stand united. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
The House of Representatives has approved a bill that funds the government through early next year. CBS's Scott McFarlane watched things unfold on Capitol Hill.
It funds one-third of the government through January, the other two-thirds through February, and that other two-thirds includes the military. So there's two different bites at the apple members will have to do the things they want to do with spending bills.
At least six people were killed this morning when a charter bus carrying high school students to a state school board meeting was rear-ended by a tractor-trailer truck. It happened on I-70 east of Columbus, Ohio. Governor Mike DeWine.
This is our worst nightmare when we have a bus full of children involved in a crash.
Three students on the bus and three people in one of the two passenger vehicles involved in the crash died at the scene. A report released by the White House Tuesday shows that every part of the country is being affected by climate change. CBS's Ben Tracy has more on the new National Climate Assessment.
The report says U.S. greenhouse gas emissions, mainly from the burning of fossil fuels, are falling, but not quickly enough. Yet wind and solar power are rapidly expanding, now cheaper than burning coal.
The future is very much in human hands, and our choices are really going to determine how hot it's going to get in the future.
That was climate scientist Kate Marvel, who worked on the climate assessment. And this is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. SmileTrain is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy overnight with a low of 40. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. High of 60 tomorrow. Lows around 38 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 51.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, are the Tuesday afternoon fights over?
Well, we got kind of upstaged with the Republicans in Congress today, Curdy. I thought you and I would do the fighting. That's how we normally do it. But no, man, no. It's Tuesday night fights up in Congress, which I would remind everybody has an 18% approval rating.
Dominic, around here, it's just a happier, happy hour. At least the government's staying open. You're welcome, say the Democrats. Because, you know, this new speaker guy, Mike Johnson, couldn't get her done with his own caucus.
Nope.
So the Democrats kept the government open for Thanksgiving. No thanks to the guy that Kevin McCarthy and elbowed in the kidneys today, right? McCarthy accused of elbowing lawmaker while fight nearly breaks out in the Senate. We'll recap a few of those. Highlights, Dom, from the Capitol Hill. But where is it? House passes short-term funding bill in first step to avoid a shutdown. A two-tiered short-termer, Dom.
All right.
This sounds very, very much like we're just kicking the can, but let me read briefly from the Washington Post. The House passed a short-term funding bill today that would avert a government shutdown Saturday. And they call it a major victory for new Speaker Mike Johnson, who faced competing demands from different factions in his party. The bill would fund some government departments until mid-January and the rest through early February. It does not include spending cuts or policy changes that Republican hardliners sought. So why is it a victory? They did the simple act of kicking the can down the road for a month and a half. That's a victory for this guy? They didn't completely implode?
I mean, considering, though, what we've this is actually a step forward from the last speaker in that situation, because, of course, the Democrats stepped up because they couldn't get it done on their own.
Well, the Democrats had to step up, Dom.
Here we go. From the Hill, the House on Tuesday passed a stopgap bill to prevent a government shutdown, sending two unconventional two-step continuing resolutions to the Senate and marking the first major hurdle for Speaker Mike Johnson, cleared since winning the gavel. The chamber approved the short-term funding measure 336 to 95. 336 to 95 days
that's before being called Friday. They're calling that passed underwhelmingly. That's not exactly go ahead, please. Please.
Just two Democrats and 93 Republicans opposed the bill. We do have some sound, I believe, from the speaker prior to this vote.
The newly anointed victorious speaker, Mike Johnson, this guy? Big day for...
It was a big day. Well, this was before, so you know he was prepping for it. Nate pulled it. Let's hear what Speaker Johnson had to say. Start at the top, if you would, please. Let's go with cut number 12.
When you have a small majority, it requires some things are going to have to be bipartisan. But I think these are issues that every member of Congress should agree on. We are on an unsustainable track with our debt.
Yes, it's amazing how those Reagan tax cuts and Bush tax cuts and Trump tax cuts, you know, pretty much equaled what most of the outstanding national debt that we currently hold. But I digress. We're not here to talk about me. Let's hear what the speaker had to say. He will not surrender. Cut 13.
We're not surrendering. We're fighting. But you have to be wise about choosing the fights. You gotta fight.
I surrender.
That you can win.
And if you can't, a lot of fighting going on with Republicans these days.
And if you can't win the fight, you surrender, Dom. Surrender.
If you can't win the fight, you just claim you won the fight and then say you're going to stick around in office. I digress. Speaker Johnson, cut 14, please.
I'm one of the arch conservatives, okay? And I want to cut spending right now, and I would like to put policy writers on this. But when you have a three-vote majority, as we do right now, we don't have the votes to be able to advance that right now. So what we need to do is avoid the government shutdown. Why? Because that would unduly harm the American people.
Well,
and you know, the crazy caucus is saying, so?
Yeah, and I'm selling good. Short on the USA right now, man. We can't make government work.
There's more upside for the individual lawmakers. You know, Santos voted against this, George Santos. Like, what the hell's he even doing in Congress still? And the man voted against it. You know, he's going to turn around and fundraise on his opposition. And the crazy caucus, they would have been just as happy, Tom, to shut it down, because that had gotten everybody's attention, and they'd fundraised on that.
A few more from Speaker Johnson. A holiday gift to the American people. Okay, those are my words. 15, please.
It's going to change the way we've done this. We have broken the fever. We are not going to have a massive omnibus spending bill right before Christmas. That is a gift to the American people, because that is no way to legislate. It is not good stewardship. It's the reason we're in so much debt.
And the fact that you continue to lower taxes over the last 30, 40 years. But you know, I digress. Johnson, no more Christmas omnibus bills. Lots of Christmas with Johnson. Cut 16.
Last year, it was $1.7 trillion, you know, with a few hours notice. And they added $100 or $200 billion extra sprinkled on top of spending that no one had ever actually vetted or gone through. We cannot do that anymore.
We cannot. We will not, says Speaker Johnson. Done with the short-term CRs. Cut 17.
This is a very different situation. We're taking this into the new year to finish the process and get back to the original way that this is supposed to work. And by the way, the House Republican Conference is committed to never being in this situation again. I'm done with short-term CRs.
I mean, they're committed. I mean, except for what, 92 of them voted against this bill. But I mean, now they're certainly committed. Johnson on the bipartisan support for today's bill. Cut 18.
We've gotten together. I believe there's going to be bipartisan agreement on that to break it up and put it into January 19th for the first tranche of the bills, and February 2nd for the rest. And that will allow us to go through the deliberative process in good faith.
Good faith, deliberative process. He says all the right words. So the good news right now, the government apparently will not be shut down. As the Hill reports, the legislation now heads to the Senate, where it has the support from both party leaders. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer on Tuesday said he will try to pass the continuing resolution quickly, highlighting the bipartisan desire to avert a shutdown ahead of next week's Thanksgiving holiday. Here's what Schumer told reporters, quote, "We would like to do it as soon as possible. Both McConnell and I want to avoid a shutdown, so getting this done obviously before Friday at midnight. We know the Senate has lots of arcane rules, but McConnell and I are going to work together. We talked about it yesterday to get it done as quickly as possible."
You know who is not satisfied, of course? The crazy caucus, Tom. You see what your girl, three-toed Marjorie Taylor Greene, had to say?
I did not. Please enlighten me.
We're literally losing our country and our children's future. She told that to right-wing podcaster Charlie Kirk today. And I believe that we should be standing up with everything we have in Congress, fighting the Biden administration, because our own voters won't even want to vote for Republicans in Congress anymore. Well, I felt that way for quite some time, Dom. She insisted Republican voters still stood behind former President Donald Trump, though, you know, because what hasn't he done to earn their votes, Dom? A little bit more from her. But they are done with Republicans in Congress. We have to fight harder. We have to earn their trust and show them that we will stop the Communist Democratic Party from destroying our country. Very balanced, Tom. I feel like she's always very balanced.
Yeah, I don't think
she also
those words mean what she thinks they mean.
Well, I'm not sure if she knows what words mean, Tom, but she also lashed out at Republicans for refusing to pass bills that would keep her campaign promises. I think one of my biggest frustrations, Charlie, is before I became a member of Congress, it was easy for me to say, you know, when I'm in Congress, I'll do X, Y, and Z. And then when I got there, I found out that just being able to do those things is a lot harder than saying it on the campaign trail.
No.
Wait, there's more. And that has been shocking to me.
Governance. No wonder why government's hard. No wonder why they're so leaned into it and ripe for authoritarianism. Because if it goes through their mind and comes out their mouth, so let it be written, so let it be done. But that's why you negotiate. That's why we have a divided government. We have separation of powers. I mean, these kinds of things, they're there for a reason, Marjorie Taylor Greene. If you were King George, you could get it all done however you wanted it, but you're not.
You know, she was moving the book. MTG, she wrote a book. Someone helped her write a book. MTG, she's pushing the book. She's shocked. Well, here's the shocking part as far as I'm concerned, Tom, that she gives a rat's patoot about what she gave as campaign promises. Because you know what she's bemoaning is that she threatened to shut it down. That's like, elect me to Congress, and I will shut it down every chance I get. That's what she's bemoaning. She can't keep the campaign promise to shut down the government. See how that works? Vote for me. I'll break it.
Vote for me. Congress is broken. I'll break it more. Vote for me.
Did you mention 18% approval rating
for Congress? Yes. Yes. That's actually, I've seen it lower, but that was the most recent one I saw from last week.
I thought it was hovering in the 13.
Yeah, that's what I recall. Before that was 13. So hell, if it went from 13 to 18, that's a big increase.
Well, Tom, look at all they've accomplished. They've found a speaker.
Wow.
They've avoided a hockey fight so far today. And maybe, just maybe, they'll keep the government open till mid-January.
No more CRs, says Speaker Johnson.
Happy MLK Day. Devil's Advocates could have fun with us if you only dialed. And I was sincere. I want to hear from conservatives. I want to be your friend, sort of. 844-967-2789. Light them up.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Brittany, how many barometers do you own?
It's a meteorologist thing.
Tell us the truth.
I've got 4 in my house right now.
That's not terrible.
I scaled down.
How many did you used to have?
I give them as gifts now.
Are you re-gifting me a barometer, Brittany?
We're down to 4. That sounds manageable.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. 60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Gotta update that promo. We're up to 63-64% of the time. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines 844-967-2789. Easy for me to say.
Back down to 63%.
It comes and goes so quickly. It all depends on how I'm feeling that day. You know what I mean? I mean, some days I'm 110%. The government will not be shut down, at least this year, assuming the Senate can get their ducks in a row. And I'm confident they will be able to do so. Hell, if the House can do it, the Senate can get it done. But we heard a little bit from Speaker Johnson talking about the continuing resolution and what they're going to do in the future. But this one also popped up from the Hill, and I feel obligated to share it with you. Speaker Johnson, separation of church state, a misnomer. It's a misnomer. Speaker Johnson pushed back Tuesday on the belief that there should be a separation between church and state on the U.S., arguing that the founding fathers wanted faith to be a big part of government. Quote, separation of church and state is a misnomer. People misunderstand it, Johnson said on CNBC's Squawk Box when asked about him praying on the House floor. Quote, of course it comes from a phrase that was in a letter that Jefferson wrote is not in the Constitution. And what he was explaining is they did not want the government to encroach upon the church. Not that they didn't want principles of faith to have influence on our public life. It's exactly the opposite. The letter that Johnson referred to is Thomas Jefferson's 1802 letter to the Danbury Baptist Association of Connecticut, who had expressed concerns about religious liberty. In his reply, Jefferson said that the First Amendment, which bars Congress from prohibiting free exercise of a religion, built a wall of separation between church and state. Johnson argued that, quote, faith, our deep religious heritage and tradition, is a big part of what it means to be an American. In his comments on Tuesday, he further argued that morality must be kept among Americans so that we have accountability. That's why I think we need more of that, he said. Not an establishment of any national religion, but we need everybody's vibrant expression of faith because it's such an important part of who we are as a nation. That's the new speaker. And I would obviously challenge that. I've invited some of our atheist friends who've written on this topic to join us here in the new future. Perhaps we'll get deeper into it. But if religion and the claiming of the religion is what the morality that keeps people accountable, then explain to me, Donald Trump, and you're all in with Donald Trump, Speaker Johnson, because he claims, I mean, he's the one that, you know, went to the burned out church after him and a bunch of tear gas flowed through a peaceful protesters in Washington, D.C., along with general at his side, to hold a Bible upside down in front of a church. Has Donald Trump received his morals from his faith? Has he been held accountable because of his faith and his morals? I would challenge that and certainly challenge your interpretation of what you think the founding fathers wanted.
Can we put a separation between Croot and Dom on the show? If you're a Croot caller, 844-967-2789. But if you're going to hell with Dom, 844-96-PARTY.
Yeah. He's not the only member of Congress who has suggested that faith could influence the government. Rep. Lauren Boebert, Crudy's girl, faced backlash last year when she said she believes the church is supposed to direct the government. I'm tired of the separation of church and state junk. That's not in the Constitution. It was a stinking letter. It means nothing like they say it does. So as the resident non-believer, my faith is non-faith, you know, so I have faith. It's just non-faith. It's like similar. It's like yours. I believe it, but I just don't believe it. See what I'm saying? So it's the same. So I would challenge that. But now to have the speaker come out, this is a speaker of the House, second in line behind the vice president to the president.
Will you stop bringing that up?
To the president.
It really bothers me when you
think that
you...
this is a misnomer that we want this. And I don't got to wonder, I mean, if that's the case, which religion, all religions, every religion that ever existed? 844-967-2789. Let's get some callers. Chris from Rice Lake, welcome. What do you got for us today?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I don't know if you guys mentioned this or not, but with them, do you guys know how this continuing resolution is split up? I mean, Is it like, you know, defense spending and, you know, all the pork, you know, that they want on one side, and then like Medicare and Social Security on the other? You know what I mean? I don't know how it's split up. I mean, this could end up to be where all the projects that they don't want, or all the you know, discretionary spending that they don't want, they could put on one side, and then when that comes due, they'll say, well, we're not going to fund that, but we're going to continue to fund the defense and all of that. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Let me just read a quick quote here, Chris, from Hakeem Jeffries. And the Dems wouldn't jump on this and I don't have the details in front of me, but here's what Hakeem Jeffries had to say. House Democrats have repeatedly articulated that any continuing resolutions must be set at the fiscal year 2023 spending level, be devoid of harmful cuts, and free of extreme right-wing policy riders. The continuing resolution before the House today meets that criteria, and we will support it.
Do you believe that?
That is your question, Chris. I mean, yeah, so we're good to go for what, till January, then maybe February, and then, you know, all bets are off.
No, but more CRs.
Everybody can have a great Christmas, though, at least, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope everybody's on the above board on this, because I got a real bad feeling that come you know, January whatever or February whatever, it's going to be look out, because the axe is coming.
You know what's going to be ironic, Chris? You know what that's going to do? It's going to place it right in the middle of the Iowa caucuses and the Republican primary season and the presidential race coming to a head. That happens right around mid-January.
Any final thoughts, Chris?
No, I'm good. Thanks, guys.
All right, right on, man. Appreciate it. 844-967-2789. Cindy from Appleton, let's squeeze you in. Welcome, Cindy. What do you got?
Hey, Cindy.
Well, I'll tell you what, Don, I'm with you. With Marjorie Taylor Greene as the Congress and Mike Johnson as our speaker, and if we get the criminal back as the President of the United States, we are all going to be going to hell, whether we like it or not.
It's hell on earth, Cindy. Hell on earth.
Dom knows the way. He'll lead.
Yes.
Sort of off topic, but do you intend to have any political talks over the greater Thanksgiving holiday?
No.
Probably
best not to. Most of my family is Republican, unfortunately.
You know, I'd like to talk to a few more Republicans. I think my in-laws are a little afraid of me, but I'd like to bring some conservative friends on and see if we can find common ground before we break bread and eat turkey together. Is that a noble pursuit, Cindy, or am I wasting my time?
Oh, we lost her. Sorry, Cindy. Thank you for calling. It's a noble pursuit. Of course, man. Always.
Is it a futile pursuit? It might be Coyote over here.
Yeah, you know, it's an exercise. It's an effort. I'm down. Tax policy is a thing. Would we have the national that we have right now if it weren't for the Reagan tax cuts, the Bush tax cuts, and the Trump tax cuts? I mean, you could make that argument. I would make that argument. Something we can all agree on. No one wants to pay taxes. 844-967-2789. Your call is on the other side.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Want to get out of just about anything and look like an earth-saving hero? Just use the environment excuse. High school reunion? Ooh, sorry, can't. Planetary obligations. Unfortunate bridesmaid's dress. Unfortunately, you promised the climate you'd buy more vintage. Chauffeuring teens? Yeah, the Earth really needs them to hoof it. That's right, the environment is always the best excuse. So go ahead, ask your bae to dim all the lights because carbon emissions. Tell your dad-botted dad to eat more plants. For the planet, obviously. Kindly tell the kids to stop asking for a new phone. I mean, e-waste, right? Find your out and opt in to cutting carbon. Just visit theenvironmentexcuse.org. A public service announcement brought to you by WildAid.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Serving Central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy overnight with a low of 40. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. High of 60 tomorrow. Lows around 38 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 51.
The Devil's Advocates. Making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Tuesday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, I'm here in the greater Milwaukee media market, WAUK, the Shaw. Kakaw, the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. And we don't have the Brewers here on this station, but we do on WRJN and lots of other markets around the state. And there's some good news I perceive, Dom. A, we've moved on from Craig Council. We've got a new manager, Pat Murphy. It's being announced. It's being reported. I don't know the man, but apparently he will be your new Milwaukee Brewers manager. And they felt like they had to hurry up and do it. I believe, Dom, because the funding bill was before the state legislature. And it has moved to Tony Evers' desk, and we've got a press release from the governor, and the suspense is killing me, Dom. Governor Evers to sign bipartisan plan to keep Milwaukee Brewers Major League Baseball in Milwaukee through 2050. That is a commitment, fella. Can't guarantee I'll be your friend in 2050.
Guarantee you'll be alive in 2050, Curdy.
I'll take my chances. Yeah. Evers, as mentioned, will sign this bill. And the Dateline Madison, Evers today announced he will sign a bipartisan plan passed by the Wisconsin State Legislature to keep the Brewers in Major League Baseball in Wisconsin through 2050. Here's the important quote from Gubernator Evers. This is a great day for Wisconsin. For decades, the Brewers have been a cherished part of our state's heritage, an essential part of Milwaukee and our state's economic success. And after months of hard work, I'm proud to say we're going to be keeping the Brewers in Milwaukee. What would Wanker have said? It's cheaper to keep them. We're going to keep the Brewers in Milwaukee, supporting thousands of families, supporting jobs, including union jobs, and ensuring a new generation of Wisconsinites can get up cheering for the home team, just like countless others before them. Again, this, according to Governor Evers, as a lifelong Brewers fan, I'll always believe that we could work together to find common ground and build bipartisan support to keep the team in a critical economic driver right here in Wisconsin. And today, that's exactly what we did. Assembly bills 438 and 439, respectively, will first need to be enrolled before being presented to the governor. Once a bill has been presented by the respective body of the Wisconsin State Legislature, the governor has 6 days, excluding Sundays, to take action on the bill, because Evers sleep on Sundays.
Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard, a Democrat from Madison, and our guest tomorrow, so perhaps we'll dive deeper into this, said this to the Journal Sentinel: we're investing long-term in a state asset and ensuring that state taxpayers are coming out ahead. We're working across the aisle with partners inside and outside of the Capitol, with local governments, to ensure that a foundational, iconic part of Wisconsin remains in Milwaukee. But Chris Larson, our buddy from Milwaukee, he is a Democrat as well. He argued the bill should have looked more like the package that funded the Milwaukee Bucks Fiserv Forum, with changes including a 50-50 split between private and public funding, a ticket tax in all events, including games and commercial development around the stadium. A senator, Tim Carpenter from Milwaukee, said he may have supported the legislation if the Brewers' contribution was significantly increased. Here's what he had to say: we all identify ourselves directly as Brewers fans, and I feel like that has been weaponized against us. This vote is not a question of whether you're a fan of the Brewers or not. It's a question of whether you're going to give a massive subsidy to a centimillionaire who lives in California, who frankly has not invested as much in the team as a Brewers fan, I hope that he would. Three of the four Milwaukee senators voted against the package.
I've got a complete list of how each of our state senators voted, if you're curious.
Yeah, let's lay it out there, man. What do you got?
Here is who voted yes for the bipartisan bill. They included the minority leader, our guest tomorrow, Melissa Agard, Dem from Madison; Joan Baldwin, Republican from Marquesan; Gabriel Guevara, Republican from Appleton; Mary Felskowski, Republican from Tomahawk; Dan Fayen, Republican from Fond du Lac; Diane Hesselbein, now that's my senator, and she, I believe, had been a prior no, so she moved to the yes column; John Jagler, Jason the Dragon, Republican from Watertown; Jesse L. James, Republican from Altoona; LaTanya Johnson, she voted yes, Democrat from Milwaukee; Devin LeMayu, Republican from Utsburg, he's a yes; Mark Lyon from Spring Green, Republican, yes; Dan Paff, our buddy, Democrat from the La Crosse on Alaska area, he's a yes; Kelda Royce from Madison, also a yes; Jeff Smith, our buddy from up north there, hey, a Dem from Brunswick, he's a yes; Mark Spreitzer, he's a Dem, he's a yes, be a shame if he wasn't; Dirty Dewey Strobel, he's a yes, Republican from Saukville; Corey Tomchak, Republican from Mosinee; Eric Winberger, Republican from Green Bay; Robert Wirch, Democrat from Summers. They all voted yes. But here are the no's. Julian Bradley, let's recall him, Republican from Franklin; Tim Carpenter, Dem from Milwaukee; Robert Cowles, Republican from Green Bay; Rob Hutton, Republican from Brookfield. You should also be on a short list, Rob. Andre Jacques, Republican from De Pere; Chris Kapinga, Republican from Delafield. Don't like you much either after that vote. Or you, Daniel Knodel, Republican from Germantown. Chris Larson, perhaps on the wrong side of this one, to my opinion, sir. Steve Nass, a reliable no, Republican from Whitewater. Romaine Robert Quinn, Republican from Cameron. He's a no. Rob Staffoltz, Republican from New Richmond; Lena Taylor, come on, Lena, Senator Taylor, she's a no from Milwaukee; Patrick Teston, Republican from Stevens Point, he's a no; and Don Wongard, Republican in Racine. You know, we got the Brewers in Racine, Kenosha, WRJN, 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, 98.1 FM, No thanks to your Senator Van Wongard. Just saying.
Jesse Apoyan reporting at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on this very topic. Under the bills passed on Tuesday, the state will contribute an estimated $365.8 million. $365.8 million. That's a reduction from previous versions, resulting from the addition of a ticket surcharge on non-Brewers events held at the stadium. The amendment approved Tuesday requires a $2 fee for events like concerts, with the amount rising to $8 for a ticket that allows access to a stadium luxury box or suite. The amendment increases the surcharge for non-Brewers events to $3 starting in 2033 and $4.42. The fee for box or suite tickets will increase to $9 and $10.42. All that revenue will be used to reduce the state's contribution to the stadium. The graduated surcharge is expected to bring just under $21 million through 2050, according to the Legislative Fiscal Bureau estimate. Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee will each make annual payments totaling $67.5 million by 2050. Meanwhile, the Brewers, owned primarily by multimillionaire investor Mark Atanasio, will provide around $150 million, including rent payments under the amended legislation. That's an increase from $140 million. So Ignas, he's coming up, what, $10 million. And it also includes around $100 million in stadium rent payments and annual contributions to AmFam Field's long-term renovation fund, another $50 million spent on discretionary projects. In return, the Brewers lease, the publicly owned American Family Field, will be extended, as mentioned, from 2030 to 2050. This proposal, supported by Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, County Executive David Crowley, both Democrats. A quote from Johnson: with this agreement, the local contribution comes exclusively from the administrative fee associated with the local sales tax. What that means is no negative impacts will be felt in future city budgets and no loss of shared revenue as a result of the stadium deal.
Good deal. It ultimately got to be a good deal. I think, like my center, Diane Hesselbein, in my understanding, I believe, is she went from a no to a yes. I also went from a no to a yes on this deal, but it's nice to see bipartisan politics happening in the state. And, you know, I am frustrated at times, you know, when I see good Dems, friends of ours from Milwaukee, and I think they're playing political games here. It would be nice if we could have all come together on this. There were always going to be the Steve Nasses of the world that were going to hold out and going to say no. But it would have been nice if the entire Milwaukee Democratic contingent could have been a yes on this. I'm just saying, it would have been nice.
Why? I mean, obviously they have some issues with the deal. I mean, Atanasio could have come up, you know, instead of $10 million, another $10 million, maybe $20 million, maybe $30 million. I mean, at some point, you know, there's a number. They could have perhaps gotten there, but they didn't get there.
Ultimately, some of our friends let the perfect be the enemy of the good. This is a good deal, not a perfect deal. And that is the deliberative compromise that occasionally you got to make in politics, dude.
Well, and in the political calculation, it'll also be that, well, this is going to go through either way. They don't need my vote. I got a problem with X, Y, or Z, and I'm going to vote against it. I mean, every decision. I mean,
that's that's the default political decision. What I would like to see sometimes is people of character making hard decisions, not just because your vote is a throwaway vote. I mean,
well, I mean, that's one of the scenarios.
A senator described that very recently. Well, thankfully, my vote wasn't needed on that package, so I got to vote against it. Okay, I get that logic, but are you for or against? Are you saying just I'm politically posturing, and since you don't need my vote, I get to stay out of it? I get to keep my hands clean? No public funding of the billionaires for me? Well, you know, flip that coin. If this ball club had left, if they didn't get the required votes, would a few of those good Dems come along? I sure hope so. I sure hope they wouldn't let the ball club leave town. So I got to say,
but everyone's got their limit, man. And who are you? What's you have yours, and you don't have to project yours onto somebody else's, man.
Sure.
Well, okay. So a good deal to you may not necessarily be shared by this very people who have to actually cast a vote and not just talk about it on the radio.
Do you know how rare it is to bring the governor's office, the Senate Republicans and Democrats and the House of Representatives, our assembly, together on any issue, along with some modicum of private financing, $150 million. Now, that's above and beyond the $140 million they already offered. But to bring all those stakeholders to
the table. Well, it's $10 million more than the $140 they offered.
Okay, $150 million still a hell of a lot of money, even if you're a rich billionaire sort. So what I'm saying is when you bring all these stakeholders together, and you've obviously got a deal, everyone says, yeah, we're down, let's vote. And you say, but it wasn't perfect, so I'm going to let someone else take that bullet. Because, you know, there have historically been some bullets to take over these public funding issues. So the courageous thing, I think, to do would be to stand there with leaders on both sides of the aisle, electeds on both sides of the aisle, and take the bullet with them. If you want to keep the Brewers, it's not a perfect deal. It's a good deal. Got a new manager, Pat Murphy. What's the old bench coach?
That's got nothing to do with it, man.
Well, if you didn't have a manager, it's a little harder to vote for a resolution.
Now you're talking about baseball operations. If you're going to get into that, well, then certainly Senator Larson's got a point. Or maybe it was Larson. I want to misspeak. But someone made the issue that, well, this guy isn't really putting money into the team. I mean, is that what you're going to base your
decisions
on?
Well, the flip side of that coin is we're not funding, we being Robin Voss, won't fund the engineering school, despite hundreds of millions of dollars raised in private investment, despite the fact that we could crank out all these needed engineers here in the state of Wisconsin. But he's holding the engineering school hostage for what? Diversity disinvestment? Doesn't want diversity DEI inclusion? So we can't build an engineering school. I mean, come on, man. They came together on something. For Christ's sake, they finally got it together on one issue. Baseball. Baseball brings the nation together. It brings the state of Wisconsin together.
Yeah.
Okay. It should bring you and I together. If for nothing else, Tom, you know, beers and hot dogs and a little sun in the American family bleachers. We had good seats. Perhaps we will again next year.
Enjoyed a couple with them. Good stuff. You know, fine enough. But people, they vote their conscience. I don't question their vote. They vote what they vote. We got it. That's what it is. 844-967-2789. I know you've got some opinions. We'll get to them next. 844-96-PARTY. The Milwaukee Brewers.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's informative.
Have neither of you been on sleigh rides before?
Yeah, never. No. I've never been on.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I've been on like dozens. Oh my gosh.
We gotta do it.
I don't even like winter.
What kind of life are you living, Seth?
He was way up in the... He was in the like really...
Northern Minnesota. Yeah, I mean, come on. Where
every neighbor has a sleigh in their barn.
Big words from someone from Toma.
Oh, it's on now, bro.
Every weekday from 8 to 10 on Locally Grown Radio.
Locally Grown Radio, from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It is our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now on the lines at 844-967-2789. Make sure you stick around, our pal Maggie Dawn. The Maggie Dawn Show coming up next.
Dominic, let's go to the lines. It's all about the lines here. And having sort of a last argument for the day, I wish all the Dems would have hopped on board and just said yes. And why do I say that? Well, today in the Congress, it was the Dems that kept, you know, the government open, kept the lights on for the holidays. How do I know that? Because I can do math. It was 209 Dems that voted with less than that from the Republican caucus to keep the government open. I think it was earlier described as a victory for Mike Johnson, question mark?
Yeah, thank you, Dems.
So the biggest issue in the state of Wisconsin currently, not the only issue, there's lots of very important issues.
Yes.
But remaining a major league state, very important to this guy.
Yeah. You know, some people
this
don't want
is my
baseball.
Number one issue.
I know, but some
today.
People don't give a damn, dude. You realize this, right? And some people want a professional hockey team. I mean,
to those people,
team,
those I people. Would say cheaper to keep them.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, look, if how is not the Bucks deal the blueprint for this deal? And if that
the
was
Bucks deal was a terrible deal for the state of Wisconsin. Are you kidding me?
What
the Bucks
deal. About?
Oh, let me remind you why it was such a terrible deal for the state of Wisconsin. Dom, if you recall, there was a proposed casino.
Yes.
And the Hard Rock had partnered yes. with the Menominee Tribe.
Yes.
And Gary Bisaw was the chief thereof. And they had a deal. And they were going to create something like 13,000 ongoing jobs, plus the construction venture of building this grand casino in the Racine Kenosha area. But to sweeten the deal, they offered $250,000. Oh, let me restate that. $250 million with a B dollars, because I like the former president, sometimes confuse the M's and the B's. $250 million. That was offered to the state of Wisconsin. So we, the taxpayers, didn't have to be on the hook at all. And one guy, the yes. former chief executive of the state of Wisconsin, threw that great deal back. That is a great freaking deal, my friends.
Sure. Okay.
Said,
but now
no,
let's talk about
I don't
the
like
deal.
That math.
But I'm referring to the deal, not that was proposed, not that was rejected, the deal that was done. And according to, again, to the reporting and to Senator Chris Larson's point, he argued the deal should have looked more like the package that funded the Milwaukee Bucks Forum, with changes including a 50-50 split between private and public funding. So while, yes, Crudy, no doubt, that would have been a better deal, a 50-50 split. That this deal is not a 50-50 split. If we just did a deal for a national, for a major league team at 50-50, why wouldn't that be the predicate for the new deal?
Well,
it seems logical,
you know, here,
to me, man. I get it.
You know,
someone's going to withhold their vote because this deal wasn't as good as the last deal. Well, that's up to them, man.
The last deal was only as good as a deal with the private investment of the former owner of the Bucks, Herb Kohl. Herb Kohl threw $100 million on the table for the people of the state of Wisconsin because he cared about the outcome. He wanted to keep this a major league city. He wanted to keep this a big league town, Milwaukee, the state of Wisconsin, because we all own these teams. And
wait,
it was
what?
Only that
no,
good a
no,
deal.
No, we do not own these teams, Crudy. No, you could be a fan. You can think you own them, but you don't.
Well, in regards to the Packers, people literally own stock, although it's non-voting stock, as you realize. It's just a fundraising mechanism. But at least it gets buy-in from the fans, right?
I can take a dump in a box and mark it guaranteed, and all you got is a guaranteed piece of crap. What are you talking about, man? What? Oh, Crudy. 844-967-2789. Let's get some other opinion in here before we run out of time. Bill from Oconomowoc, welcome. What do you got for us, Bill?
How you doing, Bill?
Oh, just fine. Say, you guys rose me to, I've got a famous title now, thanks to both you guys. You know how you had censored CJ? Well, I'm officially censored from the Dan O'Donnell show because I accused him of hating democracy. So my hat's off to you guys. I never thought I'd get that much accomplished in my life, but thanks to both of you for educating me how to have that kind of attention. I really enjoy it. Thanks so much.
Well, shouldn't you also extend your thanks to CJ? He was the first baddie, really.
Right. Well, that's true. Maybe I joined the CJ Corps, you know, in reverse or the opposite. But I'm just glad to
you
be
don't have to defend ranks. CJ, I tease. Let me ask you a semi-sincere question. Dan O'Donnell, What if he had a change of heart? And what if he extended the invitation to you to come in and record a little interview, maybe 20 minutes, half an hour, tell you what made you tick and why you disagree with the guy? Everything's within the realm of, you know, as long as it could FCC, in the realm of possibility, if Dan called you up and said, hey, Bill from Oconomowoc, I'll buy you a beer. Let's talk about life and see if we can find some common ground before the holiday. Would you take him up on it, Bill?
In a New York minute.
Quickly. Do you think you'd make him cry, Bill? Because I'm betting on whether or not I can make CJ cry in my own mind.
Oh, God. No, all I do is smile at him. If I smiled at Dan O'Donnell, he'd start crying. I know he would.
All right, Bill, on topic, real quick, what your opinion? You're from Oconomowoc. The Brewers are sticking around. They got a deal. Some voted against
That's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer. If Antanasio doesn't want to put skin in the game, why should Milwaukee?
He put $150 million in the game.
Now, wait a minute. Hang on. If you listen to why Council left, and I'm going to almost quote this, had he put the money into players, Council would still be here. But he chose.
Well, that's easy for Craig Council to say, man. You know, we all want the highest price free agent, but small market baseball tells us that's not feasible. Bud Selig, do you remember how it used to be, man? The old County Stadium?
Yes, I do.
Bud Selig,
yes,
I got to sit there in the private box next to Bud Selig, first game back after the strike. And Bud laid out the economics of big markets, you know, the Mets, the Yankees, the Dodgers. They always crush the small markets. There has to be a revenue share. There has to be a reconfiguration of baseball. And the fact that the Milwaukee Brewers can at least compete for the playoffs, do they ever get beyond the first round? Seldom. But at least we're competitive, right? I mean, the Arizona Diamondbacks didn't have the highest payroll.
No, but my point is, if you want that team to be what Milwaukee wants, then allow that team, invest in that team. I'm talking to the owner, not the city, the taxpayers, the owners. Then you better put a lot of skin in that game. He has the ability. He doesn't have the desire.
Thank you, Melissa Sanchez from ProPublica. We are the Devil's Advocate, Cedar.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue. Possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report and keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us
I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
It's also worth mentioning that Google has basically become a monopoly of the search engines.
We've never seen this before, where a company is just kind of like owning it. And like, yeah, we are, but what are you going to do?
That's no defense, by the way.
No. WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5